Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall. And you're not going to believe this. We are here with a guest today. I hardly believe it. And it's happening to me right now.
But you're famously skeptical.
I'm famously skeptical, especially of this particular man. It is Michael Ward.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Returning guest.
I mean you two, as in everybody. I'm not talking about the listeners, just you two.
That's really nice. And some,
if this could just stay between us, I think that would be better.
It would be nice. And just want you to just to clarify that all of you are unhallowed.
Yeah,
sort of
right.
Greeted by Michael.
You're not gonna tell any of this to the listeners, are you, Alistair? And the stuff that we're talking
dare.
About.
I wouldn't dare.
Yeah. So am I to understand I am the first guest ever on this series, on this podcast?
It's very exciting. You've ever had. Yeah, we've been a bit shy, a bit gun shy to show anybody else our guns, and we decided that today we're going to open up the tank, allow another person in, allow some of the stink out, and then see how if you have ideas. Firstly, Michael, where do your ideas come from?
it's a stereotypically annoying question, but nobody's ever asked me.
Yeah,
and I've been I mean, it makes me think people don't think I have ideas.
Do you think that maybe there's – do you actually have a good answer then? Is it because that – and that's why you're annoyed?
I have an
answer. Okay. I am what is known as an idea vampire.
Ah.
So I suck my ideas from other writers. So
But from their necks or where do you, what part of the
from
body?
From their brain. From their brain stem, to be more precise.
I see. And so do you have to stick something into their stem to get
it out? I bite them on the brain stem. Okay.
Where is the stem?
How deep is the stem? How deep is your stem?
That's a lovely song. Brain stem is at the base of your brain, and if you're at home now, touch the back of your neck.
Yeah. That lump?
Rub it softly.
Yeah.
Feel that?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's doing that. This is directed at you, the listener.
Yeah. I should be talking like one of those ASMR people. Rub your neck. Very softly. That's your brain stem.
Yeah, right. And so then that would be an awkward bit to get your teeth into.
It is, especially if they're wearing like a turtleneck sweater or something.
Which
you have to ask them to.
A lot of writers are.
Absolutely, yes.
The writers
that's why they wear it, I think, to protect themselves from idea vampires.
Yeah.
I think, a movie about, if vampires are biting into the neck anyway, they might as well try and tap into the brain stem. While they're there, the bottom teeth, the bottom jaw could go into the jugular.
But
if you get you can detach your jaw, maybe you make it nice and wide. You could get the top teeth into the brainstem. And while you're there, fill up on ideas. Psychic and vampire.
I think maybe a bite, like a bite to the sort of the abdomen. Maybe get some pee. If you're just going for bodily fluids, I don't know if pee and sort of other things like that would be like, is that weird? I
mean, it is weird.
You're talking about draining the main vein.
But I'm not saying biting the penis. I mean, unless you're just going for the blood in the penis. I'm saying just pierce right into the organ and just get it straight from the bladder. Can you imagine if you love the taste of pee? Right. If you love the taste of pee, just sort of sinking your teeth into a big bladder like that and just drinking would be quite satisfying.
Well,
be like getting a crack in a coconut and getting that coconut milk all over your face,
But vampires, as far as we know, I mean, they don't – I've never seen one drinking water. They don't have any other source of fluids.
Hydration.
That sort of thing. I mean, maybe they get all – this might not be depicted on screen, but maybe all their fluids – they have to be attained vampirically, or maybe there is a vampire for any liquid. Any body liquid you can name, there's a vampire for that.
Well, it's not that dissimilar from babies. Babies basically just have just milk, right?
Mm.
Milk, milk. it's the sound of what my child used to do. And milk is just blood with some red taken out of it, I think, mostly.
I'm just going to pause the recording because I'm getting some sort of strange rustling sound. Hang on. And we're absolutely back. God, that didn't break the momentum at all, did it? I think we were doing
Should
really
we start
well.
Again?
Well, we can, look, that's often a thing I ask.
Hey, hey, hey. Everybody got along. But have we written down anything about a vampire who steals ideas? Because I think this would be a great...
I got idea vampires
great
here.
Superhero, right? Yep. For the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Because none of the superheroes work in the arts, far as I can tell. Or at least their superpowers are usually for fighting and not for the arts.
And if, you know, if you're just as likely to have a superpower in any particular... field. It seems weird that you would specifically only get them in sort of the fighting type fields of endeavor.
Right. Yeah, like a power of filling out arts grants really well.
Mm.
That would be so useful. Yeah. Somebody who's good in arts, a superpower in arts administration. Yeah.
I don't know if they'd have a cape, but they definitely have like a big pair of really wildly colored glasses.
Red.
Mm, horn rims.
Maybe green.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then you would also get to find out whether it really is a meritocracy, you know,
sure.
because if they're that much better than everybody else and they're still not getting ahead because their dad doesn't, you know, work for some big oil company or something like that, and he doesn't, I don't know, however people get success.
Mm. Or, I mean, they could become so dominant, you know, that they like a supervillain, they win all the arts grants.
A supervillain, did you say?
A supervillain.
Is that like a vaudevillian?
Well, it's a
cerebral, but they tap dance.
It's a supervillain that does do stage jokes and things like that. I mean, that's exactly what it would become. It would become, that would be their arch nemesis.
One fat supervillain, one skinny supervillain.
Billion.
Always getting each other into trouble.
Yeah.
They make the audience laugh, but they make them laugh like this.
I mean, that would be a full. You're talking about a full crowd of supervillains.
Well,
you get a full audience.
A bad person makes them laugh in an evil way.
Mm.
I just think maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I guess so. Well, yeah. You want to draw. That's, you know, you want to get the right kind of laughs.
That's right.
You know, you want the audience laughing with you at your evil plans.
Mm-hmm.
Take over the
world
stage.
Yeah, because often if you make a joke that is like, you know, it's got some race connotations or something like that, you're trying.
And
to
this
make,
does happen to you often
a lot, and you're trying to make fun of the concept of, you know, somebody being racist and how, you know, so that obviously we're all should be laughing about how that's a bad thing like that. But then you hear somebody who really loves it too much, and you go, wait, I think you're getting the wrong side of this. That's that's all the laughs that the supervillains are going for.
Mm. No, you're enjoying this laugh too much, and therefore you must be drawing power from the dark side of comedy.
That's right.
The racist side. your superhero who's very good at filling out arts grants, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I think that's really good. I did also think that I just wanted to talk a little bit more about this supervillain who's a vampire, an idea vampire, which is, you know, when you are fighting an evil villain, it's not just that you're able to fight them strongly or effectively. You have to be able to have presumably a good plan, right? Have a good idea of how to fight them.
Yes.
That is just as important. Strategy, you know. Mm. And maybe your superpower is the ability to suck good ideas out of people's heads, or just all ideas out of people's heads. And, you know.
So if you get all their thoughts, maybe.
Yeah, and you can sift
one.
Through them. There might be some good stuff in there.
Yeah.
A bit like this podcast, really.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, that is sort of what we're doing to you.
Wait a minute.
Come on here.
Wait a minute. My brainstem is hurting.
There's a weird liquid that's appearing on my shirt. It's brain
and
fluid.
My bladder is empty.
pardon me. I like that. I mean, I guess, I suppose they could go sort of like, you know, attack a chess master, somebody who's very good at sort of forward think, you know, three moves ahead, sort of strategic thinking. Maybe you get like...
I've got a plan. Let's jump three steps forward and one to the left.
Yes. And then maybe you could you know, suck the ideas from a Machiavellian, you know, somebody or somebody who had just recently read
Machiavelli
or Sun Tzu's Art of War. I mean, that way that could stop you from having to read books, is if you just go and drink the neck of somebody who's just read the book recently. You know, so you have to drink more frequently if you're trying to stay up to date with recent books.
This would actually be a really good extra service for Audible to start selling, which is instead of just the audio book where you have to actually still technically have to sit through the whole thing and listen to it all to have had the experience. You could maybe they send you a vial of cerebro spinal fluid of somebody who has recently read the book, maybe in a third world country. They siphon it out and then you just drink a little bit of it. You're like, and you feel like you've read.
So it's like liquid Cliff Notes.
Yeah.
And I suppose, like, I mean, but if you're getting it, there'd probably be that thing where if you're getting it from somebody who's like not a native speaker, they probably didn't get the full interpretation of the book.
Yeah.
So then you got to pay more to get it from somebody who's like somebody who's from Cambridge or something like that, who read it.
Sure.
And
so you
get and understood it.
And understood what was happening. They didn't just recognize all the letters and things like that, or
that's the premium model. You've got to have
tiers to be able to increase your profit margin and things like that.
I think that's a sketch idea. I think that's a sketch idea. It's audible, but in a liquid form. You know,
so drinkable.
You know, you could get trilogies or drinkable.
But in liquid,
you know, you get a six pack of, you get the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy in a six pack.
Yeah,
you can get them fizzy if you want.
What if somebody had recently read the book, but somehow you got the wrong bit of fluid, and you just kind of got their memories from their primary school, but you think that that's what the book was about. So let's say it's like, you know, Moby Dick.
And then you go along to your book club and you're confidently talking about.
And you're like, I think the bit where he was bullied for his mole on his underwear, which they'd learned later found out to be poo. I was trying to work together all the ideas.
So you're saying a book club could in the future just consist of people who have just drank the book.
Sitting around talking about it. Yeah.
It brings the drinking and the reading thing that
seems
book clubs
crazy
are all about.
That you need two different things to put into your body. It feels like we talked about something quite like this recently. But like, you know, that you go to a book club and you bring wine and you bring the information about the book that you're trying to put into each other's heads. Would make sense if you could combine those two into the one, the one experience.
Well, you know what you could do so you drink the book before you go to the wine club. But then what you do is you extract your opinions on the book from the thing, and you serve it to the other members of the book club while you're there, and then they talk about your opinions on the book.
You go to a book club, and everybody cuts open the top of their own heads, and everybody just licks the top of one another's brain.
Everybody's given a spoon.
And you scoop a little bit. I mean, are you then still putting it into your mouth, or are you then dropping, you scoop a little bit from their brain with a melon baller, and you drop it into your brain, right?
Become like a bunch of balls.
Well, if you do a good enough scoop, and you scoop a good, this will be something that happens in the future.
Of course.
Maybe only in a metaphorical sense, as we exchange, you know, chunks of ourselves digitally, and we all live in a virtual world. But in some sense, we will be able to swap bits of brains in and out. You know, between each other, and it'll be a new form of intimacy. It's crazy that my wife and I have separate brains. We have a shared bank account, you know, and it feels like there's a real barrier there. You know, surely if you loved somebody, you wouldn't put up these walls between you. Sorry. The walls, I mean, being the edge of your skull.
Cranium.
You know?
It's true. Yeah, you just melon ball some you of share your brain.
Melon ball.
And put, let them either put it into their brain or let them hold it in their mouth or, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, roll it around on the tongue.
It's, yeah, the melon really lucked out there, didn't it, with the scooper, melon ball scooper. Like, no other fruit really gets
its own scooper.
Gets its own scooper. You don't even have a pineapple scooper or a pawpaw scooper.
It's true. There's you get the pooper scooper.
That's a whole different area, though. You're not eating the...
But it's a similar design?
No. You're not trying to make little balls from the poo.
I'm thinking of those things that...
scoop it into your hand or your bag.
I'm thinking of those things where you pick up a ball for a dog in that sort of long thing with the stick, and then you throw it.
I think
like
that's
that.
A ball baller.
A ball baller, yeah. Well, they've got it easy, haven't they? I mean, couldn't we combine the two, the pooper scooper and the ball baller, where you scoop up the poop
and throw it.
And then you throw it as far as you can. Because it's annoying having to carry around the bag.
You could throw it at a wall and see what sticks.
That's true, yeah. Mm. And because often it's the most important thing.
Exactly right. Mm. Exactly right.
And if it's important, then it probably should like put it back inside the dog.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they should. Yeah, all dog parks should come with a wall on one side of it. So you can do that.
Your idea of a thing that allows you to scoop up the poo and then put it back into the dog is a very good idea. I mean, why would we have a totally separate bag for carrying around dog poo when what is a dog's bowel but a bag for carrying around dog's poo? You know?
You've seen a dog eat poo before.
Exactly. So what we do is we scoop it up somehow. It's like a big syringe. You suck up the poo, you insert it into the dog's anus, and you squeeze it back in there.
There you go.
And then the dog can do the poo later on, maybe when you get back home, or straight into a bin.
You know, the squat toilet looked like it would be perfect for a dog pooing into it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, just if you had one at home and you say to the dog, I'm going to put this back inside you so that you can do it in the toilet like a big boy.
Have you seen the people who do the who pick up the dog poo in the bag? Tie up the bag and then hang the bag from a tree or a post or something like that instead of putting it in the bin.
As a warning to somebody?
Am I alone in taking notice of that before?
I've seen them occasionally dangling from things and you go...
Yeah.
I mean, I always feel like it's somebody who was like, I'm going to get back to this, and I was just doing something else, but then...
I guess you want to hope so, yeah. I'll just hang that up there. I won't forget. I'll definitely come back for this poo. I wouldn't leave my poo my dog's poo just hanging
out. I don't understand that. Why would they do that?
Utterly deranged.
Why wouldn't they just carry it on to the next bin?
There are two things. Like, it's actually the only way to make dog poo worse is to put it into a... Like, either just leave it on the ground. Don't put it in a plastic bag and elevate it. Exactly, put it at eye height. One of its few redeeming features is that it's not at eye level.
Blair Witch Project-ish.
Mm, yeah,
if you ask me.
It could be the work of the Dark One.
Mm.
You know, I mean, the devil.
Satan, the devil, he's fallen on hard times. His schemes aren't what they once were. He's running out of ideas and now reduced to living on the streets and hanging dog poo from trees.
He's walking his dog.
Mm.
Still doing the
walking
right thing.
Walking his hellhound.
His hellhound.
Yeah. I can't explain it. I'm surprised you haven't seen it, Woody, but you know maybe you don't go out looking for these things.
I walk our dog and I pick up its poo begrudgingly, and I put it in a bag. I tie the bag and then I carry it to the next bin.
Yeah.
But
you could see how you could be freed of that poo by just putting it on the nearest sort of. Protruding branch or fence post or something like that, and then suddenly it's no longer your problem. You've done the right thing. People only say pick up your dog's poo.
That's right.
They don't say put it in the bin.
They don't specify the rest of the
operation. I did everything that you guys said.
Mm. I said. You can't get me for this.
Yeah.
Technically, my hands are clean-ish.
I'll still hand sanitize, even though the gastrovirus isn't killed by hand sanitizer. You got to wash your hands properly.
You know, you
especially
do
dog gastro.
Yeah, you definitely do feel that you need to wash your hands after picking up dog poo with a plastic bag, even though you know you didn't touch it.
It's so thin, you can really feel it.
You can feel it, exactly.
Which makes me think this is going to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Okay, go.
Which makes me think they should make condoms out of the same stuff they make doggy poo bags out of. Okay, I'm done. Let's move on.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's or they should make doggy poo bags ribbed. So that when you do pick up the poo,
it's nicer on your hands.
It's a bit more pleasurable.
Or flavoured.
Or flavoured, yes, indeed. I mean, that would really show your confidence in your product, in your dog poo bag product. This is how good our bag is, right? We've made it flavoursome because the structural integrity of the bag is such that you could lick this bag and enjoy the flavour. Secure in the knowledge that nothing's getting through. That's just a sign of, you know, our faith in the work that we do here. And the CEO does it at the launch.
And what's the bad things about dog poo?
Mm.
It's
smelly.
It's its smell.
Mm.
It's its flavor. Mm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And
texture.
Flavor.
I would say the texture.
Would you talk about this thing as having a flavor?
It's flavor. It's scent. Right. And it's the germs. But if you put it in
the shape,
if you, it looks like a sausage sometimes, which is
not always
or chocolate mousse.
Yeah, but think about this.
It doesn't really have a shape.
But think about this. If it was in a bag that you believed in, a product that you put a nice flavor on, there's no reason why you couldn't then just put that bag in your mouth and chew it. And you could enjoy its texture, which there's maybe nothing wrong with.
Yeah.
And you still, I mean, if you believe in your product,
yeah.
You know, you're the CEO. You're trying to break out into the doggy poo bag market.
It's very difficult to make an impact these days.
You know, and if you want to get that government contract to be the guy or gal
puts them at the parks.
Who has it in the doggy poo rolls at the parks, you know, that's a big contract.
Yeah.
Right there. So you. You are at the council meeting,
yeah,
and you've brought your dog. You brought a little
well-fed dog, ready to go.
Before you came in, you used the injector to inject a huge amount of extra dog shit into a task. Yeah.
And then you bring your own turf, and then you get your dog. You see it start wandering and sniffing around the turf like that, and then it starts doing its business. Now you're continuing eye contact with the good people of the council, the local council.
Yeah.
You pick it up with your say. You see, with these flavored bags, you see, even those psychopaths who dangle it from trees will be actually enriching the area with scent.
Mm.
But not just scent. They also taste really good.
Gasp.
Audible
gasp from everybody.
As you can see, the bags are strong enough to withstand a human tooth.
Yeah, and he's walking over to the bin, and you'll notice that both his hands are free. Because that's a big problem. You're carrying around
a
bag.
It's embarrassing being seen with dog poo in your
mouth. But now it's in your mouth.
And then suddenly he stops, and his face goes ashen. And he turns away. He's back to the audience.
A single tear rolls down his cheek.
A napkin gets pulled from his top pocket. Pardon me.
This would be the Elon Musk version of where he throws that steel ball at the window of the car and it shatters. The bulletproof, what is it? The Cybertruck. This is the Cybertruck of doggy poo bags. And he's the Elon Musk of doggy poo bags.
I didn't know that. Did Elon Musk demonstrate the strength of a window of a Cybertruck by throwing a metal ball at it? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but right after, they'd already been testing it to hit the side panel with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Because the metal, the reason why it's so shaped like that is because it's such a difficult metal to fold because it's so strong. They were like, oh, look, you can just hit it with a sledgehammer. And so I think the hitting it with the sledgehammer messed up the integrity of the glass.
Mm.
And then when they threw the glass balls at the window, which is supposed to be bulletproof, it put a big crack in it. And then they threw a second one, and then it put a big crack in that one too.
Can I just briefly talk about car technology for a moment?
I would love that. Yeah.
That's a big topic here.
I remember back in the 70s, runners, running shoes used to boast of a material or a substance called sorbethane, right? Which was a type of rubber that was revolutionizing the running shoe market because it absorbed shock.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, and still holds true today. Why not build cars out of
rubber.
The same material, the same type of rubber that that running shoes technology uses, and so a crash absorbs the impact, and there's no, you know, metal or sharp shards of, you know, I don't know why they haven't considered that. So like soft rubber.
Why aren't all cars sort of squishy?
Exactly right.
Foamy and they
exactly
bounce
right.
off each other.
Exactly right.
I mean,
they'd be lighter.
Do we think we're too good for the Dodgem car thing where it has that big rubber ring around the outside?
Exactly.
And, the cynical part of me thinks that it's because of the brittleness of these outer car parts. Is they like that because they you have to repair it.
Exactly.
Or in my case, not repair it.
for years.
And keep it for years. And then the only thing that makes you get rid of the car is that all the doors deadlock because of an electrical fault.
Yeah.
But
I suspect that the reason that this hasn't happened is because the car industry and the shoe industry are mortal enemies. Right?
And have been since time immemorial.
Exactly.
That's right.
It's and you know, not only would the shoe industry not want to give up the secret of the foam to the car people, but also the car people would consider themselves too good to stoop to beg to get the foamy secrets.
I'm surprised Nike haven't moved into the car industry. And like, I'm surprised we're not all driving around in cars shaped like running shoes, pretty much, with a Nike swoosh on the side.
Or just cars with little feet that run.
Flintstone style.
Sure. Yeah, but it could be built into the car. You know, you could have little legs.
The one concession they've done is they've made the wheel soft. And I think that they must be trying to find a way to make the wheel.
Oh, they made
the
seats brittle. Soft as well.
The seats, on the inside it is soft. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think that they have no choice there. Yeah. Unless they made it very...
Oh, headrests were pretty hard until 1974, I think.
Yeah.
They used to have nails at the back of the headrest back then. And then somebody had the bright idea, why not make it comfortable?
Like a nice place to rest your head.
Yeah. This huge metal spike we've got here.
That's right.
Huh.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you think it kind of this could have started maybe in the early days, like this feud between shoe and car, maybe when some brothers were working on the wheel and it was that stone wheel, but then one was like, oh, maybe if we made a softer wheel.
Mm.
And then the other one was like, never. And so he just went into
footwear. A softer wheel? What, like a sedimentary stone?
Yeah. No, I'm thinking. And then he finds a rubber tree, but then he kind of realizes it's actually really nice on his feet. And then... but then, you know, the feud has happened now, and then they live on either side of the river, and they both have their own colony, and you know, and then it's just the shoe people and the wheel people, and I don't know. And the sketch continues.
Were there shoes before wheels?
I'm not sure. You know, it feels like leaves or something. You know, it feels. I don't know. I don't know when shoes came in. Sandals first.
It's a really good question. Everyone talks about the wheel as being, you know, the invention of the wheel, reinventing the wheel, but like I genuinely don't know if we thought of shoes first. I mean, there must have been cultures where they never had the wheel, but they did have shoes.
I would say so.
Well, yeah.
And when we say shoes, we mean like
a sandal.
Skins or something on their soles.
Yeah.
Animal skins.
I wonder if the snowshoe happened before the shoe.
Well, a snowshoe is a shoe.
It is a shoe, yeah.
Yeah, so it probably happened at the same time.
At the exact same time?
Well.
So then the snowshoe would have been the first shoe?
Could be.
I reckon the incentive
is definitely there.
I reckon the clog was invented by a guy getting his foot caught in a log.
Log.
And then couldn't get it out. Walked some distance to get somebody to help him.
I actually had a great time.
That's right.
Then he did a dance.
Exactly.
Is there a clog stance?
Yeah, clogging.
Clogging?
I think they call it clogging.
Really?
I think so. Yeah, that is what I think. That's my thought.
Well, it feels like it's from another country, so clogging would be,
Sounds like a euphemism for something.
Something inappropriate.
Yeah.
And, we like to keep things clean on this show.
Yeah, we definitely do. We've demonstrated that.
Up for a bit of clogging?
Which would be sort of like a debate or something like
that. I guess most sort of sexual intercourse is a form of clogging and unclogging, isn't it? Just repeated.
Most forms of sexual intercourse? I think there's only one form, as far as I know of.
Yes, of course. Missionary clogging.
Exactly right.
All right, look. I'm writing down.
Clogging?
Clogging. First clogging.
I don't know which interpretation of clogging that you're putting down there, but yeah. Well.
Do you think that it's an act of cowardice that in Holland they stopped at making only shoes out of wood?
An act of cowardice.
Well, do you think
of the clothing? Yeah. Should
what about
also
shouldn't
be made
all
out
the
of
clothing
wood?
Be made out of? If you're, something to match. Match the texture. Often that's something you would do in fashion, right? You put a little yellow on your shoe. You get that yellow on your shirt and your hat and things like that. So if you got the wood grain on your foot,
I suppose going back to the cars, there was the fashion for a while in America with the wood paneling on the side of like the Brady Bunches. Sedan or station wagon.
Yeah,
is that the Lincoln? The Lincoln is a Lincoln. Have the
a lot of things the wood on the wood. Side. Yeah, the wood was very in for a while, and I wouldn't be surprised if we're about to come into another wood age.
Really?
Yeah,
the wood age.
Another wood age.
Maybe clogs will come back as the dominant shoe.
The wooden wheel.
Mm.
What age are we in at the moment, by the way?
Oh, right, because we went
bronze, stone,
yeah.
Oh, stone, then bronze. I think.
No, there's the mnemonic. It goes Barry likes Freddo frogs. All day long. So bronze, lichen,
fire,
fish, aluminium,
dogs.
And then now we're back into the Lucozade period where
right.
It's just
high
sugar drinks.
Yes.
The Lucozade does absolutely sound like an era, of geological time. The Lucozade. Could very well have been a time in which coelacanths were really dominant or something.
A Lucozade, yeah.
Mm. We have enough sketches to go to our three words from a listener. Are you okay if we do that?
That's really exciting.
I don't know if you know this.
I don't know what that is, but sure.
But we have three. We have listeners, not three listeners, but we have maybe on a good day three listeners.
Yeah.
But some of them donate to our Patreon, and then they can. Thank you very much, by the way. That's crazy.
Morty's raised his hand there.
I forgot that you...
Never listened to the show.
But well, that's so supportive. Thank you very much. Maybe you can listen to this episode. I think you come across really well.
Oh, thank you.
And so we have a listener called Nick who...
A Nick?
Not a Nick. Well, he is a Nick.
Yes.
But... Nick hasn't given us his last name.
Nick.
I'll give it
thank
to him
Nick.
If he wants.
Yeah, great.
Nick Fredericks.
Thanks, Nick.
Well done, Nick.
Thanks for sending in your words. And Nick is also on the Discord. We've got a Discord now. People are in there. They're chatting. Are you in the Discord?
No. I was just stretching.
I don't listen to the episodes, but I love to converse about them in the Discord. Nick has sent in three words. Do you want to try to, and then we use these as inspiration for another sketch.
Good idea, Nick. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Nick's idea.
That was Nick's idea. Yeah. Thanks so much for writing in.
We were already doing it already. We were already doing it already. But then Nick independently came up with the idea of sending them in, right. Much like Wallace and Darwin. Both came up with the theory of evolution. And,
that's right.
And
so we're wondering whether you want to try and guess what the three words are. Like you just start with the first one?
Yeah, sure. What now?
Yeah. Guess what were the
first? Or later.
Perpetrator?
No, unfortunately. Then do you want to have a guess, Andy?
Phalanx.
No, you guys are both off.
Oh.
But you both had chose... Does phalanx start with a P?
Yeah.
Silent P.
Both... You both... It's not a silent. It kind of goes. It's like a P that fuses with another letter and kind of metamorphosizes its sound.
Okay, right?
Maybe a disguised P.
It's a disguise. Yeah. It's a new P. It's a system. I want you guys both to know that the first letter of the thing that you guys used is the first letter of the third word that Nick.
I had a good feeling.
Yeah. Okay. So, but the first word, unfortunately, is whiz.
Spell that, please.
W-I-Z-Z.
Okay.
Oh, misspelled for a start.
Can I guess the second word?
Yes.
Fizz. Oh, second word.
Yeah.
Fizz. Whiz fizz.
And do you want to have a go as well?
Is it got any relation? Words?
Not always, but sometimes.
Okay. Pansy.
Pansy? That's incorrect, but Andy did guess fizz. It is fizz.
Oh, well, Andy knows how to do this.
Oh. I mean, that is
If I'd known it was connected.
Which is actually very rare that Andy can guess it. I think
I'm going to guess the third word as well. I've got a good feeling.
Okay. Wait, well, then let's let Michael go first.
Flavor.
Oh, I told you it started with a P.
Yeah, it's a silent P. But that could be camouflage. PH.
It is. Spelled flavor, but pronounced flavor.
Pizzazz.
Pizzazz. So you think it's whiz, fizz, pizzazz?
Yeah.
It's a good guess, but no. It is panopticon.
Whiz, fizz, panopticon.
Whiz, fizz, panopticon.
Winner of the 1982 Melbourne Cup.
It actually is the 1980. It's amazing that you knew that. 1982?
Yeah.
Apologies. Oh, no, that's actually incorrect.
Oh.
I've double checked.
So panopticon, as we all know, is a form of prison design, designed so that from a central point, every cell can be looked into by a guard or a
warden. In the center, right?
Yeah.
Which is crazy when you think about it, because in a way, the guard is as far away as they can be from each prisoner if they were to run in the opposite way. Outside, if they broke through the wall, they could see them. The far wall.
Mm.
The guard is surrounded. That's the bad thing, isn't it?
That's also bad.
And the guard, you know, while being able to watch everybody, is being watched by everyone.
Yes. Mm.
So, you know, you imagine they can't scratch their nose.
Bad if, say, they're in a scenario where their pee is fizzy.
Mm.
You know, so he's like, oh, honey, I don't think I can go into work today.
Yeah.
I've got that. Every time I pee, it gets super foamy and just like it looks like a barocca or, you know. And you know how I have to pee openly in the middle of this guard tower when I'm at work. I just go into a bottle.
So, honey, my wife, I'm telling you I can't go to work. I'm not going to contact work, the prison where I work, but I am telling my wife, sorry, honey, I know you love it when I get out of the house because of, obviously, as we've aforementioned, fizzy urine situation that I have and the fact that I apparently piss into bottles in full view of everyone. I know you love it when I go to work because it's the only time you're free of my effervescent urine.
And, you know, and that scent gets quite airborne with that bubble.
Because of the bubbles,
I think you would have to go into work. I think there was a reason. And he's like, and you know how mean all the prisoners
the
are.
Prisoners are.
They're actually quite mean.
They all look
even
mean.
For people who are bad people.
Mm.
Are there panopticons these days, or that design is outmoded?
Well, I think there was maybe a couple of them were built. It was a big. Popular philosophy of prison design at some point in England. I think they might have even built one in Tasmania as like a sort of a test kind of thing in the convict era. But I think the philosophy of the panopticon has probably fed into the idea of CCTV and that sort of thing. So it's an idea. It was this idea that, you know, that prisoners could be stopped from doing the wrong thing by being watched, you know, like the watchful eye of God.
Yes.
You know, by being fully observed at all times, they would, you know, they would be forced to behave, and then, you know, after they'd been forced to behave for a certain amount of time, that fear of always being watched would be embedded into their brain. They could be released into society.
Wow.
Reformed. Yeah.
You could just have a guard follow them around everywhere once they leave.
You know, one-on-one. Would be nice, wouldn't it?
Mm.
You know, you can go wherever you want, but you've got a prison guard.
Like a one-on-one prison, where it's like you're free to go in the community, but there's just a guy around who's always a guy. No, stealing.
Kind of a relationship in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, why?
My wife will not let me steal. She won't. She's really hard about
that. And that was the original idea behind marriage.
Mm. But I think I like that idea.
The one-on-one prison.
I know we've talked in a lot of recent episodes about a very small man, what you could do with a very small man, but you could have a little prison guard. He's riding around on your back there. He's strapped on. And if you look like you're about to do anything, he pulls something over your head. Like a little.
So he's in a papoose.
He's in a sort of a papoose. Yeah. I guess he's holding on to your ears.
Where jockeys could go when their bones become more frail.
Yeah.
But maybe you just have a hat that has like sort of Venetian blinds that can come down or something
like that.
Sort
of prison bars.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's useful having it just over your head. Yeah. I don't know how many crimes are committed with the face.
Oh, leering.
Leering. Yeah,
but you could still leer through the bars.
Coveting. I know that's more of it goes against a commandment, but
swearing.
What about treason? You probably couldn't do that without a face.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, let's name all the crimes you could do if you didn't have a face. Okay.
Right. I mean, so you don't have a face. You don't have eyes, right? You don't have any of those big three.
You don't
senses
have a mouth. You don't have
the
a nose. You don't have. You don't. Your head ears? Doesn't have a front.
You got ears?
Hey.
You got ears?
It's not part of the face, so yeah, you can have ears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. So you could. I suppose you could sort of. You could maybe do some kind of echolocation based on stomping on the ground and then hearing the echoes to navigate yourself around, and then. I guess you could go and into a public park and expose yourself.
So yeah,
I don't know why. I don't know what you get out of that. Oh, I guess you'll be able to hear the screams of people, and maybe that's what you get off on.
Yeah.
If all you have is a hammer, everything starts to look like a nail. If all you have is an ear and a penis. Everything starts to look like... anyway.
You can let us know if you don't want this to be published. Anyway, do you have anything to add? Do you have any crimes?
Oh, no, look, I was just thinking about Billy Idol's song Eyes Without a Face, and he was talking about the opposite of what you guys are talking about, true, face without eyes.
Yeah, I mean, you could have eyes without a face by just having no front to the head, by having a head that has no width and it's just everything's on the side. Like that. And so it's all head side, but at the front, it's just kind of thin. It kind of comes to a point like a cheese wedge.
I think you might go around with a little, like a tool belt or a bag, like a bag in front of you. What do you call them? Those little fanny packs sort of you.
Bum bag.
Yeah. Bum bag. And in classic potato head style, you don't have any features on your face, but when you require the features you need, then you just reach into your little bag and sort of stick them in your
that's nice.
In your head. So if you want to see something, you bring out the eyes and stick them in. If you want to smell something.
And would you see things while they're not connected, like while they're just in
your
bag?
No. Once they're in the bag, they're not of use.
Okay, yeah.
If you want the full sensory experience, you put them all in.
Mm. Yeah.
And you could probably get more in there. You can get new senses that we don't have.
Sure. Why not?
You could get like...
sixth and seventh and eighth senses.
Yeah, that's
right. You might get Gleef.
You can get one of those lasers that scans barcodes.
Yes. Is that a sense?
Wow, like the computer is reading something. You know, that's a form
that
of literature.
Yeah, information goes into your brain. That's. Well, I think
and then it lets you know what
a
product
sense.
Is. You know, I think it's a type of sense. It's one way of knowing the world in a very capitalist way.
Yeah.
Did we talk about something like that recently? Oh, we talked about how in the world where you could steal anything you want as long as you gave the person the equivalent. monetary value of the thing that you've stolen. But
isn't that buying?
Yeah, well, it was sort of a radical universal capitalism where you can just buy anything off anybody that
but
you
they
want.
Also can't really say no.
They're not allowed to say
so
no.
So if you had a big bag of rocks that was worth that person's shirt, there you go.
In your mind.
Well, I think there would just be somehow, you know, maybe
the value
it's in
of
the
everything
blockchain.
Would have to be calculated using the blockchain. Yeah.
So if you walked into a car showroom and saw a Porsche, what do you pay with that? With what?
If you had,
it'd have to be a really big bag.
If you had
rocks.
The value, yeah. If it had to be a big, really big bag of rocks, or maybe if like your foot had appeared in a movie or something like that, and it was valuable, you could cut it off and give it to the person, and they would have to give you that Porsche.
Right.
Wait, this is the foot.
How are you going to drive the car without a foot though? Here's your stump. Yeah. Stump on the accelerator.
Yeah, no, it's hard, but you could bring your partner or something like that, and they could drive away.
Yeah. Drive away no more.
You don't, maybe you don't want to drive it. Maybe you just want to have it around.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice one to look at.
Or you just want the Porsche so you can drive to your next purchase.
Porches.
Porches.
That's where you buy a Porsche.
Yeah. From Porsche to Rossi.
Purchase to Rossi.
I've purchased this. This is a great little warm-up. Any actors out there, if you want to do a little warm-up before a show, I purchased a Porsche and Porsche to Rossi.
The Rossi.
Where did Porsche to Rossi purchase Porsche's Porsche? I purchased a Porsche from Porsche to Rossi. Where did Porsche to Rossi purchase Porsche's Porsche?
5 minutes, Mr. Andrews. 5 minutes.
That's until my execution. I'm about to be led to the electric chair.
Porsche to Porsche.
Flowers thrown.
It's like in all of society. It's been televised on the big, you know, at Federation Square and everything like that.
So this is me being executed.
The role of Andy Matthews tonight will be played by Stephen Johnson.
Mm.
Well, I didn't want to play the role tonight. I didn't know I was going to be an understudy and have to be electrocuted.
Push.
I can't even do it. Push the Porsche.
I don't really fully understand the scenario here.
So just so that you know in your mind what I'm seeing in my mind.
Yes.
You're just a person who does that.
Who gets electrocuted?
No, who says purchase the Porsche, the Porsche, the Porsche.
Right.
Society has decided
that's not okay.
They've put you in prison. And then, but it's been in the news that, oh, this person's finally been put away and people are excited about that, but he's been put on death row.
Oh, and then, wow, it's escalated.
And then because he continues to do it in prison, that's what the people are reporting in the newspaper. And then he's going and he's getting put to death via electrocution, but it's televised because everybody's actually really excited. And then he's televised, he's killed, and everybody's very excited.
Yeah, I think the funny thing there is a guy on death row about to be executed doing vocal warm-up exercise and then getting the call. 5 minutes, Mr. Andrews.
He's nervous, tidying his hair, his makeup, puts on quite an elaborate costume, goes out through the curtains. This is electrocuted to death.
Sits in the chair.
So you see that scene. You don't know what it is.
Mm.
You see that scene, and then maybe if you want, you can get that backstory. But you don't. You don't need it. You don't need it.
You got to pay extra to get that. And the DVD.
Right. That's in the Patreon exclusive.
I can't believe you've written down a sketch idea based on something we just said.
Oh, I forgot the. I didn't even write that.
I just wanted to mention quickly that an electric wheelchair is still technically an electric chair.
You're right.
So, when you're given the electric chair, that could just mean that your NDIS funding has come through and you've been able to. So you really, if somebody tells you, we're giving you the electric chair tonight.
Yeah.
Make sure that you ask for some extra information about the type of the electric chair, the number of wheels that it has and whether or not they're attached to the electrical outlet a power source. before you go celebrating, getting your funding come through, Or getting, you know, a very belated attempt to get an appeal or a pardon from the governor.
I'd love to see a dramatic scene cross-cutting between two different scenes.
Mm.
A guy about to buy an electric wheelchair in a shop.
Yes.
Meanwhile, his lawyer is on the internet trying to find a better deal. And it's like the tension is he's about to hand over a lot of money when he could have got a better deal somewhere else, and the clock is ticking up to the moment when he's about to hand over his credit card, and the lawyer is just too late. He phones him on his mobile and say, "I found it for much cheaper at..."
No, it's too late.
He's already... Yeah. The credit card already gone through.
It's gone through, and they don't offer refunds or anything.
No, not at all. So he could have got like $200 off at another place, didn't do his research, and...
The last minute reprieve from the high costs. Of...
Yeah.
No!
And there was a whole bunch of people watching.
It turns out that the cheap electric wheelchair was only so cheap because it has a large number of electrical faults and has electrocuted and killed a number of people.
And the first thing to notice was that you had to wear a skull cap when you were in the electric chair as well, driving it around. That's not usual.
There's the skull and the metal, that metal
ball. Exactly, yes. That's not usual at all.
Sort of the electric filament in between the two things.
And you had to put like a black ball in your mouth. With a leather strap.
They use a sponge, don't they? They put a damp sponge under the cap to help the conductivity of the electricity.
I think they do.
I wonder what brand of sponge it is, because that would be a great advertising opportunity for, say, Scotch or Oats.
Bright-Ax.
Yeah,
and I wonder if it's got a scour on it. Because that scour, is that metal? Right. You know?
Yeah, well, so it's a rough.
It's rough. It's rough enough.
That's metallic. Metallic to me.
Shall I take us through the sketch ideas for today?
Sure, Alistair. I'm not looking forward to hearing all of them.
There's a lot at the beginning that are very vampire idea related, okay? Sure. So then first is the idea.
Do we have to choose some out of this? Three out of this?
No, we don't have to choose any. Okay. You can choose in your life if you want to go and make them.
Yep. In a way, your work here is done.
I genuinely think that purchase a Porsche from Porsche Rudolph, you know, would actually make a really beautiful little scene. And then
Chookers.
The priest says that. Chookers.
Chookers, Mr. Smith. All right, so we got idea vampires. This is where the whole idea was originated. Yeah. Somebody who drinks the ideas from the back of somebody's brainstem or the front from of their brainstem, depending on which angle they're going in from. Then we got these supervillains, which are superheroes. These are, I guess this is in the universe of where there's superheroes who work in the arts and they're not at all for fighting. But these ones are supervillains, which are bad people and so bad, but also do jokes on stage and, you know, little
and more than jokes, like tap dancing routines.
Absolutely. Card tricks, close up magic, things like that. And then we've got Audible.
It's like how that situation arises. Yeah. Remember the TV show Dexter? That was in which
serial killer.
I think it was his parents had realized that he was going to be a psychopath and they'd raised him in such a way that he would only murder people who were also evil in some way, possibly, right? But this is a parents who realize that their child is born to kill, large numbers of people, and they raise him in such a way that he employs that by killing on stage to a large audience of appreciative fans.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And night after night.
Yes.
Slays.
I slaughtered them.
Mm.
Yes. Then we've got Audible, but in liquid form. And so it's called Drinkable, and this is where they take a similar thing. They take a bit of liquid from the brainstem and from somebody who recently read a book, and then you can drink that from the vial.
Is that pronounced potable? I've always said potable, but did you?
I thought potable. It was potable.
Actually, it's not. I think that's nicer. Potable.
Not sure of the word's etymology. I think.
Yeah.
I thought it was potable.
Very good.
Yeah, I used to have potable in a joke, and then somebody years into me doing it said, "I think it's potable," and I went, "Oh, it's too late for me now. I can't change it now. There's a huge admission of defeat if I do." Then we got the book club, but with brain fluid. So that's when you have read the book via the drinking the book, but then you can also extract your opinions on the book and put them into a glass so that people are then drinking that. And then maybe you can start scooping things from people's brain. Taking, you get to the book club, you sort of just take your top off, start spooning each other's ideas out and just eating each other's brains. Then we
so
got...
So couples spooning takes on a whole
Spooning, yeah. And then doing it with other couples.
Yeah.
And then we got the dog poo syringe so that you can put poo back into the dog, because what is a dog if not the greatest living poo bag? And then you've got the flavored dog poo council presentation where the guy is really believes in his product and is trying to show how strong their bags are and how he should get the contract. And then we've got the first, it goes wrong.
I mean,
it's quite a good scene, even without the flavour or anything like that, in that he's so desperate to win this contract that he tries to demonstrate the strength of the bags by putting a bag full of dog shit into his mouth and chewing on it.
Yeah.
and then, as you say, the face turning.
Slowly turning away from the ground. Something's wrong.
Oh, I've got a phone call.
Yes.
That's me scraping my tongue.
Yeah.
Then we have the first clogging.
Alice said it, a good, very convincing mod.
The first clogging, which is the man who invented the clog, did it by stepping into a log. I assume there's lots of bugs and stuff in there and things like that, which I think is something that they got rid of in later models.
Yes.
But he took it into town. He may have done a dance.
Yeah.
Many people were impressed. And, you know, and to be honest, it was what he became known for. And that high was something that he chased. And, you know, like
the clog high.
The clog high. And so he tried to find more viable ways of getting wood stuck on his feet. And so the clog was – it's also another word for having sex. Clogging. That's clogging.
Yeah.
And then we got the one-on-one prison.
Ah, yes.
The one-on-one prison, which is just, you know, we can go about your life. You can go about your life, but you have a prison guard strapped to your back on a papoose of some sort. I mean, I think they could follow you around, but the strapping is nice. I think that they should just have a bag – that's on top of your head. It's kind of up like that. And then they can pull it down whenever you start doing something bad.
Yeah.
And then kind of...
Or maybe they just play... You know, if we've decided that the problem is that these, you know, what do you call them? Something criminals. Criminals who can't be irredeemable. They're irredeemable criminals. We've decided the problem is that they lack a conscience. So we'll just provide them with a conscience in the form of a little man who will ride on your back and you know, whisper to you when you're doing the wrong thing.
Exactly. You know, allow you to feel things that, you know, empathy and things like that. You go, oh, that person probably feels really bad.
So that you're stabbing them.
Like a potable conscience. A portable conscience.
Portable
conscience.
Portable.
Yeah.
Portable conscience. Portable
incontinence. Portable de Rush's portable incontinence. That's nothing. Faceless person's Mr. Potato Face bum bag so that they can put various senses, push them into their into their face. But I think... Initially, I thought that they had no face and their head looked like a cheese wedge. But I think it makes more sense that they don't have any features on their front of their face.
Just a lumpen kind of mass.
Yeah, kind of like a clay or something like that. You can just push sensory organs into their spikes, like a cork board, but for
that's
sensory
actually
organs.
Really cool. It would make a great short film.
Yeah, well, it could make a great long film. If you got them to put them in slower.
Yeah, and if you put a lot of work into it, really, really fleshed out the story. You're right, it could be longer.
And then we've got the purchase a Porsche from Porsche de Rossi, warm-up guy gets electrocuted. Maybe the word vocal warm-up there might work better. But it's like, you know, a lot of it is in us remembering. We can't have all the information on the sheet.
No.
So we'll have to.
Some signal loss in the... in the recording medium.
And then we have the last minute electric chair purchase.
yes.
Couldn't get it at time. And he
save him from the electric chair that he bought that was overpriced.
A And so now
not sure why the clock is ticking like you. Not sure you got a close up on the clock ticking up till quarter of one in the afternoon.
Why
or something.
There's a man standing there with his hand on an enormous lever? But
maybe his client is getting strapped into the chair.
and then we're
going to go into the music to signal that we're done with this bit, and then we'll just wrap up the show.
Sure. Is this the best show you've done?
So far.
The best ever?
It's been miraculous to have a guest on and to find out what that's like.
Yeah.
The best good. This lifetime.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Do you want to start the music? And so thank you very much for listening to the podcast, if you still are. It's really nice. Michael, can people find you anywhere, or is there anything you want to promote?
No, nowhere.
No?
I don't exist.
You don't exist? It's really nice for you. It must be calming?
It's fine. I'm on Instagram, but why would I want people I don't know to be, tuning into Instagram? Tuning into Instagram. Brilliant.
I mean.
Oh, my God.
Tuning their phone to the Instagram dial.
Yeah.
Turning the dial.
No, you can't find me anywhere.
That's great.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. Well, you can find us on heaps of places. You can find us on Instagram at @2andtank.
No, I'm at @stupidoldandy.
Are you on Stupid Old Andy on Instagram?
Oh, no,
or on Twitter? On Twitter. Sorry, we're also listening. At 2andtank on Twitter. I'm at AlistairTB. You can support us on Patreon if you like. You can still get Magmas available at SOSPresents.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's a great show.
Well, thank you very much for coming. And
I watched it. I watched it twice, live and not live.
Oh,
thank you so
remarkable.
Much. Remarkable. And I'm watching you right now.
Are you going to do teleport on that as well?
Eventually, yes, I believe it'll go up there. Yeah, we might do a few more live performances first, and then we might put it out.
Should talk about that over lunch rather than on the show.
No, it's fine. I think people do want to know. It is a question that people do ask us.
Oh, okay.
Overseas people.
It's a good little tidbit there. People will have realised. You know,
wait a minute. Overseas people?
Yeah, some people who listen to this show from overseas.
Oh, well, I should talk myself up then. Yeah. You can find me... on
IMDb?
LinkedIn.
Yep. IMDb.
Yeah,
sure.
There you go.
Why not?
Look for Michael Ward on IMDb.
It's Michael Ward number 7 on IMDb.
You would have a lot of credits. I'm going to have a little look there.
No, there's a lot of Michael Wards. I'm not the Michael Ward who worked on Frankenstein and the Monster from Hell.
Okay.
I think he's number 8 or, no, it might be 5. Michael Ward, number 7 on IMDb.
Terrific.
Check it out. Check him out. Find him there. Leave a comment, as if you can leave comments.
Sure, why not?
You know, rate him really high.
Review.
Thank you very much for listening, and we love you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.